Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Don't Blame Me, starring me, Megan, and my co-host, producer, and the glue to my glitter. But you're also glitter glue. So like I just am, you're multifaceted. I am solely just the kind of glitter that gets stuck in your lungs and never leaves. Melissa, hello. Hi. How are you?
I'm splendid. How are you?
You're splendid.
I mean, I've only been awake for an hour and 20 minutes, so there hasn't been anything to ruin my day yet.
Well, that's fair. I mean, hey, not a bad time to wake up.
Yeah.
Let me give a quick intro to our podcast. Anyone who's new here, we're an advice show where we give, you guessed it, advice.
Wow.
Life-changing. It's wonderful, fantastic, amazing, never been done before. You call in, you leave us voicemails, and then we give you wonderful advice. And what we lack for in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
Opinions. Unlike assholes, we have many of them. I was trying to think. I was like, I wonder if anyone has multiple assholes.
I mean, it's not considered an ass because it's not in your ass. But if you have to get like one of those little bags, they make a little hole in your side.
Yeah.
You know? But it's not in your ass. But it still does the same thing that an asshole would do.
I also wonder if you have hemorrhoids for too long, if it like rips a hole, an additional hole. Because yeah, no, you do, because you have to get sewn up.
It just rips the asshole that you currently have. Kind of like if you like have a baby and you rip.
Yes. So as opposed to the phrase like tear me a new asshole, it's tear my current asshole to shreds. Expand yes. My current asshole. I do know a friend of a friend who had to get their asshole sewn up. Oof, painful. Actually, probably I know more people.
I know a doctor who specializes in asshole repair because he works in a gay community where fisting is a big thing. And so that's his.
This is the same circumstance of the person that I know who had to get their start. Because I was thinking, I was like, oh, but then people who, you know, give birth, I was like, that is definitely one. But I was like, no, I was thinking of too many poppers, too big of a fist. Yeah. Overexerted.
I've sat through a whole thing of, no pun intended, about how to properly fist.
That makes my butthole hurt just thinking about it.
It was for a podcast. I will never use it, but you know, if the time comes, I know how to.
You're prepared. Maybe we'll get a phone call about it and then you can be like, excuse me, this is my time to shine. Well, if any of you want to call in for an upcoming episode and get some wonderful, fantastic advice from us, leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And international listeners, send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you are 18 or over, have your parents' permission. Give us as many details as possible, but you got to keep it under 3 minutes. So we recommend that you write everything down. Pull out the timer on your phone or any other timing apparatus and read what you wrote, make sure all the details are in there, and you get it in under 3 minutes. And if you do a fantastic job of that, while also including your pronouns, ages, and all of the like relevant details that help us give the best advice possible, you might receive a diamond from the diamond herself.
Pretend that I'm on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
It's immediately when my head, when my mind went to when you stuck your hand up. I was like, I've seen those.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we are looking forward to hearing from all of you. And please call in. We've had a lot of like similar kind of repeat calls recently. And we don't love to regurgitate information or regurgitate advice that's
been done before. Yeah.
Yeah, quite similar. So if you are seeking advice and maybe we haven't used your call, go check through the back catalog of the episode, see if there's something very similar. And then, you know, if you've got some weird things going on in your life or something that you're like, is this too wild to call in about? Try us. We want to see. Throw us some curveballs.
Right. I'm a switch hitter.
I'm not.
But I was just saying because, you know, curveballs.
You're far more athletic than me.
I can't switch hit. We're yes anding here.
Yes, and. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I'm questioning this. I did a lot of improv. I've done theater. Yes, and. Yes, and well, what's new with you? How are you?
Nothing's really new with me. Last week was just kind of up in the air because I was on hold for jury duty. So it was like every day I was like, okay, I can confirm this meeting at 7 p.m. I made it through the week without getting called in. So it was a weird week.
So are you donezo? Like, that's it?
Yep.
I know it's like not how the law works. But again, I repeat, I would wish we could do jury duty together.
I mean, I told you to try to schedule it the week that we had it at the same time. And then we just pretend like we don't know each other until the thing is we pretend until someone asks. So as long as if they don't ask, then we don't have to say.
Oh, that's true. But isn't that one of the things they ask when you're on a jury? Like, do you know anybody else?
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just trying to think of ways.
She looks familiar. But
there's not videos of us on the
internet. You could do that TikTok noise that is like, she looks like every other bitch. And I'm like, I do. I have a common face. I was going to give a COVID update for people. I am officially a month past my positive test. For the millionth time, please get vaccinated. Mats is feeling like pretty much totally back, except his sense of smell and taste are definitely better than mine, but like he's not 100%. My smell and taste are rocking at a solid 30%. I can like taste some things enough that like I don't really recognize that I'm not tasting it. Like, and then I made myself a cup of tea and I was like, oh, I forgot to put the tea bag in this. And then I look and I'm like, maybe I got a wrong flavor. And then I was like, oh no, this is just one of those very faint flavors that is totally gone. Still exhausted, still a ton of fatigue, still a horrible amount of brain fog, which you can testify to, but anybody who works with me can testify in the, oh, did I do this? Did I not do this? Oh, I didn't. Like, I just am forgetting everything. But my cough is now steadily back. Not as bad as it was, but it's back enough that it sucks. And I just want to remind everybody to please get vaccinated, because I think I was, you know, not to like play that game, but like he is a straight man. So I definitely think I was sicker than him, but we were both complaining the same level. But now that he's like better, both of us vaccinated, same vaccine, same day. And I don't have any pre-existing health conditions that put me at, I'm not in any of the criteria or categories that like put me at getting like a vaccine earlier or high risk or anything like that. I'm just someone who doesn't have the greatest immune system and like deals with like, I mean, most likely endometriosis, which is chronic, all of those other things. So just knowing that it could have been worse, I just mm-hmm. want to encourage everybody again to please get vaccinated, because the risks of not getting vaccinated are so, so, so much higher when you have COVID. And even if you've already had it before, the amount of antibodies, like just get vaccinated at this point. I hope we don't have any listeners who are still like staunchly against it. But if there's anyone who's hesitant, just want to encourage you all to get vaccinated. And if you have COVID in a breakthrough case, it does get better. Like I'm feeling like a little bit better every day.
You look like yourself again.
Well, I'm not like gray. Like I like think back to like how I looked, like I had no color in my face. Mm-hmm. And I still get like winded and tired and all of that stuff. But before when I talked, I feel like I could see what little color I had from my face drain. Mm-hmm. And I always had a fine blood oxygen level. Do you know what I mean? Like all of those things like were numerically fine, but it just takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
So that is my soapbox. I will say I'm hopping off it, but I'm not really. I will continue to tell people to get vaccinated. Well, anything else we should?
Buy our merch. If you get it, please send us a picture. We're going to put together a poster of everyone in their shirts.
I need a post on our podcast Instagram.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. You want to get in the calls?
Let's do it.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm a 25-year-old female and I use she, her pronouns. I'm calling for advice for my relationship and family. It's two parts but connected, so bear with me. I'm dating a 32-year-old who uses he, him pronouns. We've been together for about 2 years and living together for a year. I love him very much and he is super supportive and does a lot of wonderful gestures like bringing home a foot bath out of the blue or making little care packages. For a little background, I am in therapy and have been for a few years. I also work for a mental health agency and I'm a year into my MSW program. I understand mental health pretty well and I'm great at giving advice, but not good when it comes to my own mental health. I have PTSD and told my partner this summer and he was supportive when he found out. My issue is I struggle with sharing specifics that would be helpful in being more honest and getting both of our needs met. I would like to be able to share more with my partner. For example, I have an anniversary of a death coming up that I've wanted to discuss for months but haven't known how to share. This is something I struggle with in general, but is also compounded by the fact my partner had a traumatic loss of his sister earlier this year. I've been stuck in this spot of just wanting to support him through that and haven't necessarily focused on my own needs for months. I don't want to discuss death with his loss, but also know it's not helpful to just experience it and not let him know. The other piece is I have an extremely strained relationship with my own sister. I cut her off earlier this year prior to my partner's loss. He was supportive of it at the time, as I think he related. I'm visiting my family with him for the holidays, and my mom asked about having my sister come. We're both vaccinated and masked and only plan to travel if it is safe enough. I struggle discussing that relationship with him now and don't know if I should just reopen my relationship with my sister because of the loss. For background, my sister is 2 years older and struggled with extreme mental illness and physical issues starting from my middle school age all the way through college for me. She had frequent inpatient hospitalization, and I never invited people over when I was younger because I didn't know how she would react if she would get verbally and physically violent. Even though she was older, I took on more of a parental or older sister role as my mom was fully focused on supporting her needs. She frequently told me she wished I hadn't been born, and my entire childhood revolved around her needs. Into adulthood, she has wanted a relationship, but it's always remained about her and her issues or needs. She has a distorted view of the world to the point where she makes comments as though we experience things at the same age. My therapist supported cutting her off, but my partner's loss has made it hard to maintain and discuss. I struggle with navigating this time with both my family and my partner. I know my partner would be supportive and I tend to overthink, but I have no idea how to navigate all of this and was hoping for some advice. I am also sensitive, so I need tough love, kindly worded would be very much appreciated.
I think it's great that you're in therapy. This is hard because I don't know if your partner is in therapy, but I think that like my instinct is to have a sit down conversation with your partner to be like, and I wouldn't bring up, I've been putting my needs on the back burner because of you, because you did that by your own accord. He didn't ask you to do that. Like that was something that you chose to do. And it's helpful for us to know, but it's not, that was a choice that you made, and telling that to him can kind of push blame, which I don't think you feel at all. But I would say like, I want to have a sit down conversation with you and just say, I want to know where you are at, like comfortability and boundary wise of like me talking to you about my relationship with my sister and cutting like her off and like the holidays. And I also wanted to let you know ahead of time that this date that is coming up is a hard one for me personally. It involves like grieving and death. And I just want to gauge where you are personally at. You are obviously my partner and I want you to be included in my life. And I don't want to like withhold these things from you. I know you experienced a massive loss this year, and by no means do I want to potentially trigger you. So I want to let you know that this is what I'm going through, and I'm going to be seeking to have those conversations with friends. But I don't want you to feel like I'm like withholding or hiding anything from you, just because I think proposing to him, I want to talk about X, Y, and Z things. I think if you give an alternative of, I want to be able to talk about those things with you and I don't want to hold anything from you, but like, I understand if your plate is full and I don't want it to be like, well, if you don't talk to me about it, then I'm not going to talk to anyone about it, that he might then end up taking on more than he can handle. So I think like reaching out to a friend to talk about that, but while still giving him the opportunity to kind of discuss that with you and keeping him clued in so you don't feel like you are hiding things from him or not giving him the opportunity, because people grieve very differently. And some people, nobody ever really wants to be treated really fragile or coddled at all. But I think the best thing that we can always do is give someone the opportunity to engage in a conversation or to talk about something and then let them tell you what their boundaries are. So we don't anticipate other people's boundaries. But I think, I mean, yeah, I guess that's kind of where my mind automatically goes. But it kind of sounds like, and you tell me what you think, but like, it kind of sounds like to me that caller, you wanting to potentially reconciling with your sister is you're anticipating that that is what your partner wants for you. Did you feel like that? Or that he would say something like, it feels insensitive to not have a relationship with a sibling when he's lost something?
I feel like it's more like the caller sees it from his perspective, that she said it quickly, but she said that he was supportive of her because when she first said that she was going to cut off ties with her sister because he was going through something similar. So I think it's because his sister passed away that she feels like she shouldn't waste the time. Like it's insensitive for her not to even like try to reach out to her sister, especially since her sister does want to have a relationship with her.
Yeah. What do you think?
First, I think like you can't give from an empty well or empty tank. And right now it's like you're being supportive of him and you're being sensitive to his emotions, but he isn't giving you any mental support or emotional support. And I'm wondering if it's because you think he can't handle it or because he said that he can't. And I think it's because you are kind of shielding him from it. So I think you guys need to have like you said, like have a sit down conversation and discuss, hey, like this is what I'm going through right now. Let me know if it's too much for you. I can talk to friends and my therapist. I just need to know. Cause right now you're doing a lot of assuming instead of asking him.
Yeah, I agree with all that.
Yeah. And then I just want to go back to the stuff with your sister about how like your sister does want to have a relationship with you, but she is still making everything about her. And again, have you told her that she's making things about her? Have you pointed it out? And then she's still not changing.
My biggest advice when it comes to the sister is if you are willing to try having a relationship with her, that's like totally up to you. I think if you decide to do that, it should not be over the holidays and it shouldn't be at your parents' house, because from what you've shared, it sounds like you have a lot of trauma regarding your sister, but also that your mom was all about her and it was your childhood was primarily focused on her from like the parental aspect too. That I think that going into it in a holiday situation, A, your boyfriend is coming with you and that like can be a lot. And also you're going back, even if it's not the same home that you grew up in, you are kind of going back to potentially like a traumatic experience, same situation, same dynamic and relationships and all of that. And when it's something that is triggering like that, it's really, really hard to not fall back into those roles that we automatically had back then and to go at it in a new way. Because of that, the holidays can be traumatizing to like a lot of people, even if those relationships that they have with those people are like successful and fine any other time during the year. Like, kind of keeping that might be helpful. But at the same time, if you have cut your sister out, I don't know how long, I don't know if you mentioned how long it's been, but like, if this is the first holiday, I don't know that, like, do your parents pick which kid like comes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know how the holidays are going to work in that sense where your mom is checking with you if it's okay if your sister comes, but is your mom then having to pick between like her two kids in that sense? And I think that like, if I were wanting to work on a relationship, I would have a conversation with her ahead of time before Christmas and do all that. And if that's not something that you want to do, I wouldn't anticipate that you're going to want to do that then. Like, I don't think you should be making the decisions of like, well, I don't want to talk to her now, but like, I'll talk to her at Christmas. Like, I just think it's putting a lot of pressure on a situation that if you're like staying there and like, it just can be a lot, especially regardless if your partner has recently gone through a significant loss, inviting someone into like potential chaos can be a lot. But at the end of the day, if someone else's like mental health struggles and all of that kind of stuff, regardless of the reason, if they're being like verbally, mentally, or like physically abusive towards you, the reason can explain, but it doesn't justify or make your feelings invalid. Like, just because how she treated you and how she is a result of like her mental health doesn't mean that like you have to take it in stride. So if it's hard for you and it is traumatizing and hurtful to you, you can have like very clear boundaries, be like, this is not something I'm comfortable with and comfortable doing. And that might change later down the road. But I don't feel like you need to mend this relationship immediately if that's not something that's feasible to you.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you want to mend things, you've got to do it before the holidays, and also be cognizant of how your strained relationship could also strain your mom's relationship with your sister. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wishing you the best of luck. I hope that was gentle. I feel like we were gentle.
That was very gentle.
Okay. Should we get on to the next?
Sure.
Hello, Megan and Melissa. I fucking love you guys. So here's the deal. Okay. I'm 27. I'm bi. My pronouns are she, her. I recently got back into therapy and I'm working really hard on my fearful avoidant attachment style and difficulty letting myself be vulnerable and intimate. For context, I was deep in the fundamentalist evangelical world until I was 24 years old. I feel like a cult survivor, but that's tea for another day. I was in an abusive relationship from age 15 to 21 with the same man. I'm an FA survivor. I didn't start exploring my queerness at all until I was 23 after moving to New York City. The good news is I've done a lot of healing work these past few years and have never felt more proud of who I am. And I love myself more and take care of myself better every day. The bad news is I have an incredibly difficult time letting myself be free physically without being like fucking cross-faded or something. I'm bubbly and confident and outgoing at my most natural, but I freeze super easy these days, unfortunately. I'm working on this actively in therapy and I'm excited about that. But a final barrier I run into on my most confident days is that I have dermatillomania. My legs have always had scars as a result, but this summer I also had a change of my medication that resulted in loads of severe skin picking episodes on my arm. I'm fair, so they scar purple, and it just really hurts my confidence. I barely socialized or left my house this summer, and between that and the pandemic, a girl is rusty. But my meds are better, I'm in therapy again, I'm better, and I have a crush. And I think he might be into it. I really want this to be an opportunity for me to put what I'm working on to the test. Be free, have fun, live like I'm allowed to take up space and like I'm allowed to have my body feel good and make my body feel good and all that good stuff, right? However, I'm terrified of him seeing my wounds or my scars, and I have no idea how to respond if he asks about them, especially, you know, like if they're fresh. I don't want to overshare or accidentally overjump either, which I can do when I'm put on the spot. So the TLDR of it all is I would love to hear any advice you have on how to communicate about the scars if asked, how to get over the shame with the scars, and would also love any advice about letting yourself release overall, like generally. And before I go, Megan, I have to thank you for your transparency about your own struggles with skin picking. You'll just never know how much it means. So thank you. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
You sound great. I want to be your friend. I like this energy and this vibe. Surprise, surprise to nobody. The skin picking part, if anyone has followed for a while, I'm sure they do. Yes, very relatable to me. The thing I will say about it is like, it obviously differs from person to person. Me personally, I would so much rather tell someone ahead of time versus being in a situation where I have like just picked, I completely hate myself, like I am so fragile, and then have somebody ask. And kind of the same way about skin picking, like scars and like the look of it or anything. There are definitely like in some circumstances with people that I'm like, nobody's going to ask about this with the group of people that I'm with. And if they do, I really won't care. And I shouldn't care. We shouldn't care if anyone asks. But there are, at least for me, people who, if they said something, I would feel far more embarrassed. And also, I can't control when someone asks or when someone notices or when someone says something. And there is a high likelihood that they say something when I'm like, again, like fresh picking or really vulnerable about it. And so I can't control that conversation in that situation if I wait for it to happen. So for me, the way I would probably bring it up is ahead of time and just being like, oh, and if you notice anything like on my legs or whatever, like I've got dermatillomania, I would either like make a joke about it if it came up, or I would just be like, hey, I just want to like give a little precursor. I've been wearing long sleeves a ton and or like long pants, and I really want to wear this cute skirt. I have dermatillomania. I've got these like spots on my legs or my arms, and it's not a fun thing to like talk about or to really like see. And it's something, but I just want to give you like a heads up. And I find that people are very, especially someone who likes you, I think like it would be wonderful if someone could then like him do his own research and like look about it and like see all of that kind of stuff. But I think that you want to communicate, but you don't want to overshare. I think that sharing something like this, I don't think is an oversharing situation at all, especially because the shame thing that comes with dermatillomania, that I think anything that you can do to kind of let someone else in your life know that, because you already beat yourself up enough about this, having someone else question it in those vulnerable states can just be really, really hard. And I don't think there's anything innate about oversharing that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that like one of the things that I'm like decent, like because I don't have my glasses on all of the time and I can't see everything and I'm pretty forgetful, I will eventually forget that like I'm showing my legs or something like that. But there are times like where I just won't. But I am far more comfortable having like people see like the marks and the scars and all of that if it's people who know. And there is this, I don't want to call it paranoia, but even like think of it like if when you have like a zit or anything like that, that you think that like everybody's like looking, everybody's looking, everybody can see this or whatever it is. That is there when like you've picked your skin, but it's also you feel blame and like shame in all of that. And so I think that when all of my friends know and it's not like a weird kind of thing, but I would also say if you want to be more passive about it, post about it on your like Instagram story and like he can kind of see it or whatever. But I also think anyone who comments on your body, especially if you're like getting intimate, regardless of like what it is, to me, I really don't like that. Like I had a guy that I like used to sleep with who like the first time we like slept together pointed out like a couple of like not self-harm scars, just like random scars on my body, and like immediately asked me if this was like a self-harm scar. And I was like, no, but if it was, whoa, like yeah. I'm naked right now. Like there's like a funny story that goes along with this, but like that is like a very, you're in a vulnerable kind of state. And to then just kind of like ask questions about that.
Yeah. Yeah. During my senior year of college, I went through the same thing. My skin's darker, so you couldn't tell that much. But to me, you could tell, like I could see it. and I knew it wasn't how my legs usually looked. And so I would just, like, if I wanted to wear shorts or it was just hot, I would just like make a joke about it around people. And then they would say, like, I didn't even notice it. Like you were saying, like with zits and stuff, like you're more cognizant about it than other people. And they usually don't notice it unless you call attention to it.
Yeah. And also in general, unless, because like my sometimes with my legs and that stuff, like sometimes it can look like an allergic reaction. It can look like hives.
Or it also like looks like just like irritation from shaving.
Yeah.
Which it could be.
It could be. Yeah. And yeah, like that's also part of what I pick is like shaving irritation, and I'll pick anything. But in general, like I just think like unless somebody's face is swelling up in front of your face and it looks like their throat is closing up or they're having like a visible allergic reaction, don't comment on that. If someone's like the back of their neck is something's bleeding that they can't see, like that they're not seeing, but like the in general commentary on people's bodies as like a, oh, I'm concerned kind of a thing is like, we know what our, I know what's happening on my body better than you. And like, unless my nose has started bleeding and I can't see it, like, and I can't feel it and I haven't noticed, like, yes, let me know. But there is just like no need to comment on that kind of stuff. But I will also say, like, you're 27. I don't know how old the person that you are seeing is, but I definitely like have been met with far less like questions and comments about like anything physical like that as, when I got older and was surrounding myself with people who were my age and all of that kind of stuff. Like some people, we get to across a road in our lives when we get older that we start minding our business or we stop minding our business even more. It's intentionally spending time with the people who like Mats doesn't comment on it at all. And like, we've had conversations where I'm like, this is helpful for me in the moment. This is not helpful for me in the moment. Like, this is what you can do. This is what not to do. And I think anyone that you're like sleeping with or being intimate with or anything, the best thing that you can do is to arm them with the tools that you need so they don't accidentally hurt you. And that's not their intention and their goal at all. And we can kind of go out of our way to prevent that and like let people know that what we're looking for and what we need. And I don't know anybody who's been like, wow, that's so like, I mean, except for people on Instagram, but like nobody in my personal life has ever tried to pry or ask quite, even my therapist. So like, it's very much like whatever you want to share, like share, you know, but I understand it's rough.
Big ups on like going out and dating.
Yeah. You already sound like the person that you're describing you want to be. You already really sound like that person. So give yourself that credit in that sense. And I think we become who we really want to be. And you're taking those actions to become that person. And yeah. I think you're there.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Yamen Spa Styler hair tool that we both have. We have their blow dryer, and this is doing something that I've never once seen before on a blow dryer. It's got red light therapy, but the thing that I am the most excited about, because I literally just opened my package, it's got a scalp massager attachment. Like, what? What? Hello, my scalp is so incredibly excited. And as someone who has been a big fan of like Korean and Japanese beauty that I've like very much gone into, specifically skincare, and I've started dabbling into makeup, I just know that like hot tools. Oh, I'm sat. I'm ready and I'm primed, and my scalp cannot wait to be massaged.
I am literally sitting here with it in my hand as we're talking. It's so, first of all, it's well made. Like, it fits great in my hand. It's not too thick. I have tiny hands of a child, and it's not too thick in my hand. And then also the attachment for the massager is just so, like, I'm rubbing it against my hand, and it's just so soft and flexible and just invigorating that I'm really excited to get this thing on this scalp.
I'm so excited because I have to say, blow drying your hair is, in diffusing your hair, all those things, it's a time-consuming process. So to be able to be like, let me take a break and treat myself, give myself a little head massage, do a little red light therapy, like, fantastic. Plus, it's lightweight, so your arm's not going to get so tired. Absolutely tired. And yeah, very ergonomic, fantastic.
Yamen is a leading Japanese beauty brand, blends modern technology with traditional beauty rituals to revolutionize the industry. Their U.S. brand portfolio includes Makanai Pure Beauty, MediLift, Mineral Air, and Yamen Tokyo, Japan.
To experience the future of beauty, you can visit yamenusa.com and use code BLAMEME for a 20% discount. That's BLAMEME at yamenusa.com. That's yamenusa.com for 20% off using our code BLAMEME. We are back from the break, so let's get into the rest of the calls.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm calling about a very recent breakup that I am going through. I am 26, pronouns she, her. My ex is also 26, pronouns he, him. We've been together for 3 years and living together for about 2.5. There have been no like recent issues in our relationship. Like, we've talked pretty regularly about how great everything was going between us and how we're just so happy that like we have this apartment that we love and our cats love each other and we love each other. Then come to find out Saturday morning, this past Saturday, he came to me and said that he wanted to talk and immediately started crying. He told me like he asked if he could hug me first because he loved me so much and he needed me to hold him while he did what he was about to do. So he told me that he thought we needed to break up, and I asked him why, because it caught me by complete surprise. There were no signs of this coming, and his answer was that when he's with me, he feels perfect and happy, and when he's alone, he feels like he doesn't know who he is and he needs to be alone. And so that's why he broke up with me. He is starting therapy. I also started therapy because it's like such a drastic change like that. It completely blindsided me
with our lives so intertwined, living together and everything. I guess I just really need some guidance on how to move on without having clarity and not knowing when or if I will get any. He told me that he, once he has answers as to why this had to happen this way and why he couldn't bring himself to talk to me beforehand, he would tell me, but I don't at this point know when that will be. So I'm just really hurting and I need some advice. Thank you.
Oof, this is rough. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like the classic, it's not you, it's me. And we don't know, and I don't think you know how long he's been feeling this way, but it maybe seems like that, like you said, like when he's with you, he gets lost in who you guys are together, but doesn't know who he is outside of the relationship. And so he is taking time to figure that out without you. And it hurts. I know it hurts you and it hurts him too, but like, this is about him and not necessarily about you.
Yeah, no, I agree. So you guys moved in together 6 months into dating.
Mm-hmm.
And the last almost 2 years have been a pandemic where we've all been stuck inside. And to me, what this seems like is someone who recognizes that they are displaying, like, not even necessarily codependent tendencies. Like, there were two, like, recognizing that, like, you in this relationship kind of became like his everything and his mm-hmm. identity. And I think that has happened to a lot of couples during this time. And as people have been able to kind of venture out and do things safely and all of that, like, recognizing that, oh, wow, I don't know, like, who I am anymore. And some people never go through that process of, like, questioning and, like, identity crisis. And it can be hard if you've never been through that to understand why someone would need to end a perfectly happy relationship to get to know themselves. But when I, like, went through, like, a what am I doing with my life, like, a complete, like, identity crisis and reevaluating, like, just everything and trying to understand myself so I could make better decisions for myself more. Like, I even pulled away and wasn't the most communicative, like, friend at all times. Like, in order to really figure that stuff out, like, you do kind of need to be selfish. And I think you're right. I don't think that he even necessarily knows if there was, like, if it's a slow burn. Like, it's different for every single person, whether it, like, I don't know, it happens little by little, like sand in an hourglass, or if it happens like you're hit by a freight train one day. And I'm the latter. Like, I am someone who doesn't, I realize something like all at once, anvil dropped on my head style. And some people are just like that. And what I would tell you is that just because this is where this relationship has ended up doesn't mean that it was a waste of time. It doesn't mean that it wasn't a great relationship and it didn't, like, serve a purpose and, like, serve you really well. It just got to a crossroads. And the only way, like, through that and the way that he was able to choose something that was going to be the healthiest thing for him and in turn is actually the healthiest thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can be really hard to be like, well, I wish this, this, and this. He does too. Like, he wishes. I think something's so incredibly strong when someone recognizes, like, I'm not doing well. That's not just hurting me. That's going to hurt this person. And this person deserves so much more. I'm not comfortable giving 20%, or I'm also not comfortable with them sacrificing their happiness for me, because that won't make me happy because I really care about this person. So I think therapy is, like, great for both of you, but it's such a fresh, fresh wound. And this was, like, the time that you called in, it was the way you made it sound was that it was, like, literally, like, the past week or weekend that it mm-hmm. happened.
Like, it just happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I understand wanting to kind of get some clarity, but maybe your therapist will say something similar or completely different. But to me, it sounds like you want to know what went wrong and what did you do? And like, how could this have been like prevented? And that is something that is, you did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. Nothing went wrong. This was the course of the relationship and there was no avoiding it. And any avoiding it would have ended up in the same outcome and probably in a much worse state.
Much worse.
Like it would have been 6 months of like screaming and all of this stuff like blowing up ahead of time. And it's hard and it really sucks when you feel like the rug has been pulled out from underneath you. There's no signs that you missed. There is no like analyzing, like breaking down like the course of this. Like sometimes relationships, they just happen and it's nobody's fault. And I think if you can do your best to see how great of a relationship this was at the time. And I always tried to do is like, if this relationship could be this good and this wasn't like it for me, think of how like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have such a great relationship when it's like the one who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. If I could have this amazing of a relationship and be so in love, this isn't even all there is. This wasn't even ultimately my person. Like, great. Like the opportunity to know that you can fall in love that much and know that you can feel that way about someone. It takes a while to get there, but using that as like an exciting thing that like I felt this way once, that means I can feel this way again.
Yeah. And so I'd say use this opportunity, since you said that you're in therapy as well, use this opportunity to explore who you are as well without a relationship and being honest with yourself. Like, did you also feel like you didn't know who you were outside of the relationship? Yeah, it hurts, but it's going to take time. This isn't something that's going to be just like overnight aha moment for you or for him. And I think the clarity, like we've said before, the clarity you're looking for is closure. So just allow yourself time to hear yourself and when he's ready, hear him and allow yourself to heal as well. And it's going to be a while.
Mm-hmm. I'll also say, too, if it comes down to it, if you don't want to hear him, that's also okay. Yeah. Like, you don't have to closure, clarity, quote unquote. That is all such a personal thing that he's actually truly not really involved in. And if he is heavily involved in it, then I don't think you've reached that point of what we call closure is, you know? Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry. That's so hard. But yeah, I think like what you said, work on finding yourself too.
Yeah.
Should we go on to the next?
Let's do it.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm 20 and my boyfriend is 23. I go by she, her pronouns, and he goes by he, him pronouns. A little backstory. My boyfriend and I have been dating for almost 3 years and have lived together for almost all of our relationships. We've been dating for about 4 months when, due to urgent living situations, he had asked me to move in with him. I kind of said, fuck it. If it works out, it works out. And I moved in with him at 18. Since then, we have moved to multiple different parts of our state due to work and school, and we're stronger than ever. We even have a dog. Now, here's the issue. We have never had any problems in bed up to about a month ago. We have had sex regularly, and he eats me out every time, which I love. Up to about a month ago, I used to finish every time we had sex, and he ate me out every time, except now I just can't seem to finish at all. I still want to have sex, and my goal isn't always to finish. However, I get frustrated when I can't seem to anymore. I would also like to side note, my boyfriend loves to eat me out, and he's really good at it. I haven't talked to him about my frustration because I don't really want to make him feel bad. He's always open to trying new things with me and always wants me to finish first, although that doesn't always go as planned. I would also like to talk to him about doing more new things in bed that we haven't done before. I love him so much and I love having sex with him and pleasuring him. He finishes every time, of course. However, I need advice on what I or my boyfriend and I can do together to help me finish as well. I feel like I might focus too hard on the end result that I can't seem to focus like in the moment, and I get kind of anxiety and like overwhelmed. And I think I kind of like don't focus on what's going on. Although I recognize this, I can't seem to change it. Please help. Thank you. I love you guys. I love the podcast. Have a good day. Bye.
Back to that calls of people living with their partners like months in.
Yeah, but hers seems like it's going well for the most part.
It's also pretty unrelated.
Yeah.
We do love a man who like loves to go down and is great at it, or any, we love anybody, but you know, mm-hmm. especially like cis, like heterosexual men, like no DJ Khaled's up in here. Anytime I think about it, it makes me so mad, but so happy that he's good at it. He likes doing that. Great. I think that like, if you automatically are kind of being like, I want to try some new stuff, I think that there's something that you think you're thinking of and you're not saying yeah. it.
Yep. There's stuff that you're holding back from. You're used to what he's doing. He might be in the rhythm of doing the same things over and over again, and you want something different.
Yeah. Like you just suggesting like there is something. There's something mm-hmm. that you're not telling us. You have an example in your head. And yes, mm-hmm. go for it. Great. I think specifically if it feels like something that you're like, oh my God, this is like way too crazy, or like this feels like a lot, there are two ways I think that you can either bringing it up like dirty talk, because like half the stuff you say in dirty talk, you're like, well, I'm not gonna actually do that. Like, we're just like, you know, getting creative here. And to kind of like saying something like that in like a more hypothetical sense, or if it feels way too uncomfortable to like bring something up while you're having sex and that's like not the way you want to do it, then being like, hey, was just thinking, like, is there anything that new that you would want to try? I saw this thing. And then you can like say, like, I saw this thing that seemed kind of interesting. What are your thoughts on it? But I think you're right in the sense that like you're it getting in your head, and it is like you said, like he's been doing the same thing and it's worked and it's not working. And so I think you're like, well, I'm broken. Like, what am I doing? This has worked all of the other times before. If you've seen something or heard of something or just had the idea in your head of something that you think is like kind of sexy and hot, that's there in your brain. And regardless of like how much you're consciously thinking about that kind of thing, like you are thinking about other things that aren't the exact sex moment that you are having. I think that like that, the best thing you do is like bring that up.
Yeah. And also your body can get used to something. If he knows, like, he's done this so many times, he knows how you always come this way, he's probably not switching up what he's doing because he's like, this is what gets her off. I know how to make her come. So your body also gets used to that if he's not switching it up, and then it remembers things, so it doesn't react in the same way as if something new was tried. Like, even like with sex toys, something can get me off real fast, you know, like every time, and then it'll get to a point where, no, I have to switch this up. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. It's not getting me the same way that it is. But also, in that being said, since he usually always gets you off and he knows that he does, are you faking now?
I feel like no.
But if he doesn't know that he's not getting her off and he's used to always getting her off, if he doesn't know, then why isn't he, if he knows that she's not getting off, why isn't he changing it?
Yeah, that is true. I see that. I really hope you're not faking it.
Because she said she hasn't told him.
Oh, I interpreted it that like she hasn't told him that she's like frustrated, like that, because I think sometimes what happens, like, if you're like, oh, it's just like not happening for me tonight or whatever, like,
but if it's been happening for a month,
yeah, sometimes sex in relationships can kind of get like masturbating, where you're like, mm-hmm. means to, I'm just like doing this to do it, like when you're masturbating, like I'll fucking like use a toy, I have like a face mask on, like it's not sexy or anything like that. And sometimes when you're in a long-term relationship, it can kind of, you can kind of get used to that. And so even just like switching up the like, oh, I want to put on like really sexy lingerie, I want to send like a dirty pic during the day, or like send like a racy text, I want to mm-hmm. like have, if you normally have sex with like some lights on, have the lights off. If you normally have sex with lights off, like light a candle, like,
or like go to a different room, or try a different, if you're usually like lying on your back, sit on his face, like gotta spice it up. And it seems like you want to, maybe you're just having trouble vocalizing that you want to try something new.
Yeah. I mean, again, like the actual act of like, I find that like the best sex I'll have, it's the lead up to it. And like, yeah, sure, you could just go down on me immediately and like eventually I will get there. But like if I'm already like feeling sex and having all of this kind of lead up to that, that like the payoff, the reward is like so much greater mm-hmm. there. And it doesn't even have to be like crazy, like kinky stuff or whatever. Like no. It can literally just be like putting on music, like wearing something really sexy and just like making out on the couch for like an hour, anything like that. And so it feels a little bit less routine and feels a little bit more kind of like, I mean, me, even Sydney and I were talking about it, how we're both in like long-term relationships. And we were both saying, I was like, oh my God, like we started making out again. She goes, oh my God, like me and my fiance. She's like, it was the greatest thing ever. I felt like I was a teenager again. Like, this was like so hot. We're just like making out. Like, you don't do that, Eddie. Like, mm-hmm. we don't do that as much anymore. It's a very easy thing to kind of like change and bring up, but he just wants you to get off. And like, there is no judgment in these kinds of things. And like, you have a healthy relationship. So if there's something that you bring up that you want to do that he doesn't want to, like, as long as he knows he can say no.
And if there's something that you want to do or he wants to do and you don't want to do, you can say no too, but he can't read your mind. So if you're not communicating with him in all parts of your relationship, then it can leave you frustrated.
Yeah. I think the solution is the lead up. And I don't think there's no tips and tricks for like the actual moment of, because I think me telling you to like, oh, put music on so you get out of your head. I think there's some other stuff there that you like want to try and do and all of that kind of stuff. And 3 years into a relationship, yeah, that checks out. I foresee some sexy sex in your future, some good mm-hmm. wet sex.
Good wet sex.
Well, is it time for Don't Blame Them?
It is.
So Don't Blame Them is where a listener will call in with their own advice pertaining to a call from a previous episode. So maybe they have personal experience. Maybe they missed something that we didn't say. They heard something, saw something, felt something, or they just want to tell us how they feel about it.
Here we go.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm calling for a Don't Blame Them for season 8, episode 20, regarding a football player who doesn't wear his mask. I use she, her pronouns, and I have also been in a similar situation. Instead of a football player, it was actually a pretty famous YouTuber who went to my school. She wasn't racist or anything to my knowledge, but she did violate our campus, pretty much our county stay-at-home order, by flying to Alabama to visit her sister during the height of COVID, probably like this was last year. And I did have an in with the dean of students because I was a part of student government, and I was on the dean's board to help make decisions and whatnot. So I did inform them person to person. And the dean told me that they actually had a COVID resource page where you can kind of like tattle on people and give all identifiable information. So I'll definitely look to see if your institution has something similar. But I actually do disagree with Megan Melissa, and I think you should be using your personal school email just on the basis that if you do email your dean, the football coach, the school newspaper, there's a high likelihood that that could be filtered through their junk or spam mail. And obviously, if we don't want that to happen, I will say to prepare for them to do absolutely nothing. When I reported that one YouTuber, I don't think anything came out of it. And I also had connections to an upper administration. So them doing something, the school newspaper, the dean, all of that stuff is based on the presumption that they also care about COVID just as much as you. And I 1000% hope they do, because COVID, you know, is a virus that is like freaking killing people. But I would just prepare for nothing to happen. And if nothing does happen, keep a paper trail with your school email and then bring it to your student government and say, I've had student concerns about COVID on campus and administration isn't listening to me. Then the student government can take care of it. And then if they don't take care of it, feel free to reach out to your local news station, because they are probably more than willing to look into, see if they have a story to write about the local university not caring about COVID and putting people in danger, and if the coach is protecting them. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Great advice.
Wonderful advice. I wholly agree with this person, and I would love to know which YouTuber this is.
Slide into Megan's DMs.
Please.
Or in the Don't Blame Me, because I think you'll see it in the Don't Blame Me DMs before.
Your I probably person. Will. Well, that is it for our episode. Hope you all enjoyed. Thank you so much for listening and or watching. If you are listening and you're like watching, I don't know, that was an option. We are on Patreon. Check us out. We have the video versions there for $1 a month. And then we have a live stream, literal Zoom hangouts where we just hang out twice a month. And they're really, really fun. And they're only $5 a month. So if you want to have some, it's a great way to like step your foot back into like the socialization of the world. And it's a great time. We have fun. I don't have 10 out of 10. I give it those reviews. If you want to call in for an upcoming episode, again, the phone number is 310-694-0976. International listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. All the things that we said at the beginning for the requirements for the calls still apply. You can follow us on socials everywhere. And if you are listening to this far into the episode, go on the most recent Instagram post and comment. Just comment what state you live in. Because, you know, Alabama, yeah. Lots of other ones. Comment what state you live in.
That's a good one.
Or what state you're from. You know, if you don't want people to, I don't know, pick one of them.
Just a state.
Comment your favorite state.
Because, I mean, there we've got a lot of international callers, too. So they don't live in the United States. So
that is true. So I take it back. Comment your favorite state in the United States. It doesn't have to be anyone you have any ties to, anything.
Just
it can
a
be.
State.
And especially for people who do not live in America, I would love to know what you're saying. You don't have to offer any explanation. You can. Honestly, if it's Florida, like, and it's you're joking, like, go for it. I'm very curious. And then we can see which state got no votes. Sad.
I don't know why that made me laugh so much.
I love pitting things against each other. So all of our links and socials will be listed down below. My book's available. Get my presets. Follow me places. And
I want to read a review.
Oh, okay.
This is Rachel. That is their username as well as the title of the review. Hey guys, this is Rachel. I didn't mean to leave any of those negative comments. Just having a hard time. Love the podcast. Eminem are an amazing duo with sparkling perspectives. Everyone get vaccinated. Heart emoji.
That is so funny. Oh my God. I'm obsessed.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
We love you all and appreciate you so much. And I'm so glad. Again, I want to give another shout out to the Rachels who listen to the podcast, who are not this Rachel, not the original Rachel.
Yes.
And I just want to say that, like, y'all are taking this in stride. Like, you have, like, assumed your new, like, you're like, you've accepted that, like, Karen's had their moment. And, like, mm-hmm. Now it's Rachel's time to shine. And none of you are feeling personally attacked. And you're confident. You know it's not you. And I really appreciate it. So, you know, as always, please go leave some reviews, cancel out Rachel's bi-weekly. And you can also join us in the ongoing inside joke by reading all of the recent reviews. And you will also notice which one of them are from the original Rachel. Mm-hmm. It's quite clear, quite obvious.
Oof.
Oh, that was funny.
Good job. Bravo. You get a diamond. You get a diamond.
That was like the first comedy diamond that was given out. That was fantastic. Anything you want to promote personally?
Follow me on Instagram, please. I also just made a very weird TikTok. If you would like to look at that too.
I need to go look. Okay. We will see you all next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me. Executive produced by Melissa DeMonts and Diamond Imprint Productions. Edited by Coco Lawrence. Post-production sound by Chris Henry. Production assistance by Melanie D. Watson. Music by Ryan Hunter and Giacomo Picasso.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.